This episode of Bend the Knee is brought to you by our bannermen, Lord Jason of House Ross, Lady Amanda of House Richardson, Lord Adam the Young Bull of House Parker, Sir Peter of House Whittingham, Sandy the Dragon, Blood of Queen Daenerys, and Lady of Jameson, Lord Nelson of the Long Isle, Sir Joshua of House Ross, Lady Liz of House Hendricks, Sir Matthew of House Perry.
This podcast is protected by Lord Hunter the Foulmouthed, Lady Amanda of House Ryan, Lady Rajal of House Stevens, Sir Ron of House Golson, Lord Robert the Unfrozen of House Butler, Lord Paramount of Skagos Island. Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt the Bud Knight, Fist of the Dragon, Maker of Gains.
And I am Sir Ezra the Watchful, Stealer of Hearts, Bandit of Time, Hero of Shireve. Welcome to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today we are into Arya 2 of A Clash of Kings.
Yeah, you know, still to this day I think I am haunted of the memories of the Battle of Shireve. Again, you know, something we will have to discuss at some point on a future patron episode, but yeah. It was a battle. We'll leave it at that.
I fought my nemesis. Let's say that. I fought my nemesis.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, dude. So, wow.
All right. Wow. Sir Ezra, I mean, I'm pumped, okay?
Yeah.
Because you and I have been working on a lot of stuff all day today. We sat down and we said, all right, hey, we're going to record at around noon West Coast time. It is now 5:30 West Coast time. Been working on all the behind the scenes infrastructure stuff that we always do.
Yep.
But it's like, all right, now we got to get animated, just jammed out to the Game of Thrones theme song. It's pretty much what we do. I don't think people really know that. About 5 minutes before we hit record, we just blare the Game of Thrones, title music at about 11 for about, 5 minutes and just really get right in the zone for these episodes.
So I also want to mention, you know, we've talked about doing the Q&A, and I think this would be fun to do again at some point, but like, I don't know if people are interested or not, but there's other things we do to get pumped up too, you know? And I would love to talk about those things because they fire me up. And I had somebody ask me not too long ago, like, what's all the, literally, I think it was one of our listeners messaged me and said, you guys are always talking about like, people or this group of these individuals who are trying to stop you, and I'm like, they're real.
It's
not
real.
Just something it's, we're saying,
right?
It's
but
actually,
now sometimes I just feel like the people trying to stop us is just the world in general.
Yeah,
you know,
sure. Sometimes,
and that's just how we go through life. You know, more often than not, Ez and I will be talking, and I'll just be like, screw them. And he's like, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
In the middle of the conversation,
oh, dude,
just out of
guys,
nowhere, just like, screw up. He's like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's how I feel too. You know, I mean, some people, you know, you're working hard, and then you know, you just got stuff going on in life. Screw them. All right, that's where I'm at.
Yeah,
I'll go ahead and say it.
I know you. Well, here's the thing. I know you will in public too. Like, I've been with you in public, and like, all of a sudden, it's almost like, you just out of nowhere, you come, like, you're in a trance. You go into a trance, and you're just sort of like,
yeah,
you're telling the world off. And I'm like, all right, I got your back.
Exactly. You know, for a lot of people, you know, a lot of you guys message us, and you're like, yeah, I just love listening to this podcast when I'm on the road, going to work. I mean, they're going into battle, right? I mean, it's busy season for a lot of people right
That's
now.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Nobody likes going to work. Well, I'm sure some people like going to work some days, but you know, more often than not, you know. Jeez.
You need your armor. Put your armor on.
Absolutely.
Let's go.
Let's go.
I don't know. So, I tell you what, hey, one of our listeners too, who I haven't heard from in a long time, is back.
Mm-hmm.
He's back.
Yeah. I can't wait for all that, right? Raven. I'm excited. So, all right. Well, just quick plug here. You can follow Sir Ezra on the social media at womprat_2m, and you can follow me on the social media at Super Gains Bros. Haven't got that out there in a while. You know, we have this ongoing doc that we're always we're always looking over, and sometimes I'm like, you know, we forget some of that stuff, and sometimes we come back. And one thing I do need to remember, I do want to get in really quickly here. You guys, we haven't had any of these in a while, but you guys do have the option of calling into the show. There is a phone number. We actually haven't used it in so long that it's about to expire. So if somebody could send us a raven, that'd be great. And it would keep that from expiring. That number is 614-547-2350. And we'll play that on the show. If you want to send us in a raven, your voice can be heard by the realm. So we had a lot of those when we first started. And then it kind of we didn't get a lot, I think, because we forgot to say the number for the past year.
Well,
and let's get that back out there.
Well, I mean, even if you don't want to use the number, if somebody sends us like a 5-minute audio clip, as long as it's not like a 2-hour audio, we're not playing somebody's, you know.
Yeah, we can't do that.
2 hours worth of whatever. But if it's a short clip, we actually can take care of the editing. We can, if you need it, you know, clips here at the beginning and the end or whatever.
Yep. Just to go ahead and plug that right in. So we do that quite a bit on one of our other podcasts. We get a lot of calls on that show.
Yep.
But you guys, just want to let you guys know, you do have the option to do that. So
yeah, absolutely. Cool beans. Yeah, we've got, and also coming up, I mean, this is so, let me see here. Yeah, this will be like the week before. Well, for us, anyways, it would be Christmas holiday.
Yes.
Right. So that is coming up next week. So I think we're going to do a special episode, aren't we?
Yeah, we did one last year. We got another one we're planning. Stay tuned for that. You know, last year we joked around and told everyone, like, oh, we're going to be off for the holidays. And then we launched an episode on Christmas. So if we do it this year, if we were to say, hey, we're not doing it, then people would be expecting it. So we might as well just tell people.
Yeah. No surprise.
Maybe we should tell people there is an episode and then not do it.
And then
keep them on their toes for an entire year.
Oh, jeez. That's funny. Now, so we got that coming up. Probably we'll have some time over break, too, to do some cool theories and get a lot of recording done and get ready for, 2020. So I was just telling Sir Matt, like, it's actually really nice to be in the second book. It's really nice to just feel like, okay, wow, we got that under... You know, we're well into the second book now. And it's just great. It feels so good.
Yeah, it's Clash of Kings is great. Everyone's off in kind of their own directions. This is our second Arya chapter. We have Jon next week, so kind of getting a piece of where everyone is. Real quickly, Sir Ezra, you know, last week we were talking a little bit about possible potential Winds of Winter news. I think it was yesterday, and I posted this in the Facebook group. HBO kind of quietly dropped on the Game of Thrones has its own YouTube channel. They dropped a tiny little 1-minute, they call it a trailer, but it's not a trailer. It's not even, it's hard to even really call it a teaser, but it says Game of Thrones prequel trailer is the title they chose. And it's, you know, those extended DVDs where they do the kind of the lore, but they have the actors read some of the lore.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So it's like one of those, but it's only like a minute of it. And it's talking about like Aegon the Conqueror, but they call it Game of Thrones prequel trailer. And it's Varys reading it. So HBO's, you know, even just with that one little bit, they're starting the hype train.
Jeez.
Here we go. So, I mean, this whole Fire and Blood, House of Dragons prequel, man, they're moving on it, it seems.
That's awesome. That's exciting because I was wondering, you know,
they announced it. They said it's happening, but there was nothing after that. So at least now they're even quietly kind of being like, hey, here you go.
Yeah, let people know it's still in the works, or, you know, the work they're moving towards. That's great. Is there an actual date though? When it's going to?
No.
Yeah.
I would imagine 2021.
Oh, really?
That would be my guess. Would be 2021.
Gotcha. That's cool. Yeah. Because we'll get all sorts of like casting announcements and things like that.
We'll probably get a trailer at Comic-Con.
Okay. Yeah.
Would be my guess, and there will be like a cast panel of it at Comic-Con.
Gee, many Christmas, man. I mean, if there was ever a time to drop like a year to drop Winds of Winter. You know, I mean, it's going to be 2020. It's, you don't have a TV show, nothing going on. Been working on it for 10 years. This is the year, right?
I think so.
Gotta be, man. I don't know. It's gotta be. I have a feeling. I feel like you and I have been saying for a couple months, like 2020 is it. Like, it's going to be a good year. Lots of stuff happening. We're excited mm-hmm. personally and about all the fandoms that we're in. Just really cool stuff. So that would be the tippy top right there. I mean, if this book were to come out, I would be satisfied
well,
for
you know,
decade.
So there was also a cryptic tweet by HBO, the HBO Game of Thrones Twitter that simply just said winter is coming a little bit ago. And so a lot of people were like, oh,
what?
Maybe everyone's what? People are starting to really kind of point out to this. There people are saying that on there's kind of an internet thing going on right now that people are saying they're going to announce the Winds of Winter release date on Christmas. We'll see. I mean, I'm sure we've been saying that for the last 10 years, but I mean, we'll see.
Jiminy Christmas. Wow. All right. Well, I mean, that's exciting still.
In May, early in May, Gurr promised fans at an event that Winds of Winter would be published before August of next year.
Did he say mayhaps?
Well, it was in May. I mean, mayhaps.
Yeah, there's something there.
Yeah, he said, because there's a quote, because he's going to there's Worldcon, right? That's this convention,
yeah.
And it's in New Zealand that he's going to. And his whole deal is he's like, I don't even want to go unless the book is ready, because he wants to, I think that's his deal, is he wants to go to Worldcon and say, here's the book release day.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, he likes to read chapters or do little snippets. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would want to show up. I mean, that would suck,
and that's,
right?
That's yeah. July. It's July 29th, 2020. So
okay.
That's, I think that is, it seems like through, you know, cryptic tweets and cryptic interviews and, you know, fans with like the strings across the rooms, piecing everything together is what it seems like he's really pushing forward, so he can go to that convention and say, boom, here we go.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, cool. I'm
because right now it's like would be the time to finish it before the new prequel starts up and you get busy with a bunch of other stuff. I mean, if you don't hammer it out now, we're never going to see it.
Yeah, and he's been apparently closed for years. So,
I mean, he's only had 10 years since he started the last one. So,
right. Yeah. Have you looked at his not a blog recently? He's got some
dead. There's been nothing on it.
Well, the last thing, so look here recently, December 13th, looks like
that's his first post then. I didn't check it today.
Yeah, so it looks like, I mean, we're recording this on the 15th, and mm-hmm. There's a couple things in here. He's just kind of talking about events that he's going to, maybe some mm-hmm. signings.
Well, before that, his last post was November 23rd.
Yeah, so, So they opened up their own bookshop?
In between that was when his website updated and said, like, future publications.
Huh.
Remember we talked about that last week. That
oh, yes.
Week,
so. Right. Right. So if you look at
the winds,
this.
And then the Winds of Winter website was purchased.
Yes, right. Yeah. And did you see what that ended up being, by the way? Have we talked about that?
What? No.
It's a joke. I mean, it's some guy's like.
Is it really? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's some guy's.
I'm going to it right
YouTube,
now. The Winds
YouTube
of
channel or something. I mean, it's a joke.
Gosh, it's dang it!
It is a joke, man.
Well, I'm still a believer.
And I don't mean you know, and I'm sorry. I guess to that individual, whoever that may be, I don't mean
well,
you in particular.
Are we sure though,
mean,
or is it some sort of cryptic? I mean, why is it that he would change his website to future publications and the same day that the windsofwinter.com is bought?
Yeah,
it just
know.
Doesn't add up.
I don't know. You think he? Do you think that's a front? You think he put somebody out
I
there?
I do. I do. This is the same writer that has. Every single character is secretly somebody else,
yep,
and secretly
yep.
alive. Yeah, you're telling me that guy wouldn't go through to all the trouble of doing all of this other stuff? I think not.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, here is something pretty cool, though. And I feel like we might need to make a trip to see this. So, you know how I wanted to get like a first edition Game of Thrones
yes.
book signed mm-hmm. by George? And so I contacted them. They were so overwhelmed. This was about a year ago. We got no response. Actually, there was actually a, I don't know what, I forget where this was at. It might have been, it was on the blog, I think. and they were just overwhelmed with requests to have books signed or whatever. Because typically he's like, send it in, you know, he gives you like an address or whatever with a note, and he'll sign it and they'll send it right back to you. So you don't even have to like show up or whatever. It's just something he does in his spare time, and it's pretty cool, especially if you have something that's unique or it's exclusive. He'll do that. So they have just opened up a bookshop. So if you look on his Not a Blog, right next to that theater that he likes, he does a lot of cool stuff in some historical theater there in Santa Fe or whatever. And he's got a bunch of books in there, different fantasy authors. They're all signed, apparently, which is kind of neat. So you can go in there and buy a book that has been signed, some by him and then some by other, you know,
that's
other
pretty cool
authors and stuff. Yeah, it looks really, it's got a little cafe, a little, they offer coffee, tea, hot chocolate. Look at this, dude. We got to go.
We got to go. Where is it at?
This is go to his Not a Blog and look at these.
No,
photos.
I know. I was just looking at it, but I didn't see. Oh. I didn't see a specific.
So it's like 418 something road here in Santa Fe, right next to that cinema, that little theater that he's always in, hosting and doing stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
So actually in their theater, they're showing, you know, Game of Thrones or something for some limited amount of time or something, some special thing he's doing. It looks cool though.
That's
looks
pretty cool.
Really cool.
That's pretty cool.
Whoa, they've got, we've got huge stock of a 20th anniversary edition Clash of Kings.
Clash of Kings. Yeah, just like the illustrated version of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Down. Awesome.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's kind of it for the news today, unless Sir Ezra has any other nuggets that might be out there.
No, I think it's just we always, it's like we can go checking Not a Blog. You can drive yourself crazy checking that because he just posts whenever. So it could be, you know, a year and he wouldn't post something. Normally it's a couple months or whatever. But so nothing there. Just if anybody in your spare time, you get a chance to go in there and check that, please do and let us know if there's any updates as we go into the new year here. So hopefully something over the holidays, that would be awesome. And I would be, I wouldn't actually be surprised. Like the more I look at things, the more I, and I see some of what, like what you just said with HBO, plus what he's got going on here, the timing of the new show. I would not be surprised if 2020 was the year for this. It's good marketing, you know? So.
Hey, that's what I'm hoping. I mean, that to me seems like let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen.
It's time. It's time. So, all right. Well, Sir Ezra, we were skipping the Maester study today.
Yes.
I think we're just diving right into the chapter.
Yes, sir.
Is that correct? Okay. All right. Well, this week we're into Aria 2. Last week we were with Bran, where Bran and Rickon had, you know what? I did it again, man.
What happened? What'd you do?
I forgot to change the Bran thing. Well, let me just click back. Well, remember last week when I forgot? And I was you know what? And it's because I copied the wrong one and back into it. Gosh, man.
Hey, you know what?
Hey, you know what?
Here's
though?
The thing.
Luckily, I got it pulled up right here.
But Sir Matt, that's on me. Yeah. That's on me because, you know, I am Sir Ezra the Watchful. Darn it.
It's true. All right.
I looked at this doc and I didn't see it. All right. So
I know. Well, it's because I copied and pasted. It's a moving document stuff, but I have it right here. Last week, Prince Bran Stark contemplated the Red Comet as he listened to the direwolves howling in Winterfell, wondering about the reasons behind it all. He resents his broken body and the arrival of Big Walder and Little Walder Frey, whom he blames for Summer and Shaggy Dog being locked up. When he tells Maester Luwin about his wolf dreams, Luwin gives him sleeping draught to stop the dreams, but that night he dreams he is Summer trapped in the Godswood. Okay. This week, let's just make for sure I have this correct, and it looks like I do. This week we're into Arya 2, but the last time we were with Arya, a few chapters ago, Arya was traveling north with Yoren of the Night's Watch disguised as a boy. When the orphan boy known as Hot Pie tries to steal her sword Needle, Arya beats him bloody. Yoren takes her aside for punishment and reveals that her father was supposed to be allowed to take the black rather than executed. This week, Arya and the others encounter more refugees every day as they journey north. One evening, they halt at an inn where they hear news of the war in the Riverlands. Outside the inn, Arya talks with the prisoner Jaqen H'ghar. Soon after, the six gold cloaks arrive with an arrest warrant for the Bull, but Yoren refuses after a tense standoff and the gold cloaks retreat.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, so a couple quick thoughts here. Just, you know, one of the thoughts I had kind of about this chapter is, you know, is because Arya talks about how, you know, the Hoster Tully is her grandfather and stuff like that. It seems to me, I'm sure there may be Yoren's ideas. I can't go over to the Riverlands to get this, to get her to possibly her brother or, you know, any of her other relatives. Yep. But that to me seems like a much easier thing to do than possibly going all the way to the north. I mean, maybe he just thinks nobody's gonna touch him or anything like that. But you know, you could still just be like, well, we're going to the Riverlands to see if we can grab some more men or something like that.
Yeah,
Then you could drop Arya off there.
Yeah, for sure. And the crazy thing is, maybe you know, when he leaves King's Landing, we don't know the state where the Young Wolf is not, you know, declared. I mean, he's on his, like war is
it's brewing. Like happening at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. It's brewing. So I don't think, you know, where he doesn't know where everybody's at, and he's just pushing north. Because right here, it's a great opening paragraph where they talk about what the war that's happening around them and everyone fleeing south while they're going north. And you're right that you typically don't stop the Night's Watch, and even the people who are on their way south, they are kind of telling them, hey, you should be going the opposite direction, but it's the Night's Watch, you know? So, like, they're kind of like, we don't take part in this. We really should just be allowed to pass through here, you know, with our lives. I think they kind of point out, well, they might take some of your supply. They might take some of your horses and your wagons. And, you know, Yoren sort of like, let them try, whatever. He's just willing to kind of risk it. I think he's just erring on the side that traditionally people let the Night's Watch go, whatever. But this is a rough time, and so I am a little bit surprised that we didn't get more, you know, from him and just in what his thoughts were about the war raging around him. And you're right, he could have taken her over to the Riverlands. Maybe he has that thought in mind and doesn't say anything about it, and he's just going to keep pressing north until he can cut across, you know, west from the King's Road over to River Run or something. But yeah, it's a little crazy. And really, I mean, if Gendry was not with them, things would have been so much different. Right?
Absolutely.
Everything
would be
different.
They would have been pretty clear to just go straight forward.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I have the beginning of the chapter here. I always like to read that. They traveled dawn to dusk, past woods and orchards and neatly tended fields, through small villages, crowded market towns, and stout holdfasts. Come dark, they would make camp and eat by the light of the red sword. The men took turns standing watch. Arya would glimpse firelight flickering through the trees from the camps of other travelers. There seemed to be more camps every night and more traffic on the King's Road every day.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what we you know, what Arya's story really in this book is, just the traveling along the King's Road. And really, you could make the argument it's Arya's path for the next two books. Her just out in the wild, kind of traveling throughout the Riverlands.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, so just in that first paragraph, I just noticed this. And you know, I say this a lot, but when we actually sit down here and we open the book and we look at this line by line, it's you catch a few things. What does the line mean where it says, you know, come dark, they would make camp and eat by the light of the red sword? Is that talking about the comet, or is that talking about like what is it, like just by the fire? Or?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. I am not entirely sure, but it is capital red.
Yeah.
Capital S.
Is that?
So yeah, I'm
guessing I don't know, like a.
I'm unfamiliar. You may have to. We're gonna have to look it up.
It just seems good. I would think. Remember all these references to the comet and stuff. I wonder if is it. Can you see it at night? Still streaking? Is it still like super? I don't know. Is it gone already? I mean, how long is it there?
Well, I'm gonna pull it up here.
Yeah. So well, anyways, why you do that? It might be nothing to it. It just could be. Word choice,
well,
whatever.
Unfortunately, when you type in red sword, what comes up is Lightbringer. So
yeah.
My guess is it's the comet he's talking about there.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe if somebody knows, I mean, it's just interesting. It kind of struck me as, and maybe there's something later on in this book I've forgotten. So,
right. No, there's nothing specific. I'm even checking Reddit. There's nothing specific about it.
It's just I would say that's maybe what it is. Or yeah. Anyways, so moving on. They talk about all the folk, and they mention here some the people who were going south. So more noon and night, they came old folk and little children, big men and small ones, barefoot girls and women, and they're moving south with draft horses, ponies, mules, donkeys, whatever. They've got all their stuff. I mean, really important things, and they're fleeing. Mm-hmm. So this is war. These are small folk
It is the comet, by the way, because they mention it again. Above the red sword shared the sky with 5,000 stars. Yeah, so that's just comet.
Yeah, I just never, you know.
It's just something I've read like 3 times and I totally skipped over until you brought it up. Right.
We don't even really think of that, though. That's just, you kind of forget that it's there. And I was like, what the? Yeah. So, well, you know what? One thing he's doing there, too, is like it being the red sword and how he's almost showing the reader, too, that like not everything is. In his writing is literal, right? He uses a lot of different like metaphors, analogies, and things, so you can't always take stuff for when we talk of the prophecies or what does this symbolize or whatever. That's the type of stuff he'll do to show you that it's his writing style and he's trying to throw you off or something. Okay, so they're moving south though, and they're walking towards the city, towards King's Landing. Only 1 in 100 spared so much as a word for Yorin and his charges traveling north. She was wondering, you know, again, this is Arya trying to figure out why everyone is moving south. Many of the travelers were armed. She's seeing like daggers and dirks and axes and swords and stuff here and there. So, yeah, these are small folk on the move. So this is where she gets that callback to kind of Sirio, who says, "Look with your eyes, listen with your ears."
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, there's another callback to Sirio later as well. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that. But yeah, exactly. And then this is where she's talking about the mad woman, right? You know, she's screaming, "Fools, they'll kill you." She was Scarecrow thin with hollow eyes and bloody feet. You know, so we're just seeing more and more of what the war is doing to people, the different kinds of people that are out there, and how it's affecting people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. Yeah. She notices a grave, you know, of a child too. So we're seeing that. And this is where a lot of his writing and this telling of, it's almost like a historical fiction, really, right? Or you could say that a lot of this is real. I mean, it's real, sort of what war would look like. You know, if we could go back in time and write it down. So yeah. Yeah, there it is again. Above the red sword, shared the sky. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now, come morning, they get to a place here, right? They're making camp along the way, and things. There's a point where they have to go take a bath, right?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, and that's not gonna do for Arya. She can't be letting everybody know.
Right.
Right. So what's she going to do? She's going to stink it up. I mean, it's funny too, the way she kind of describes like leaving Flea Bottom, and some of those critters or creatures that were with her there are still with her now. And, you know, so she's kind of rank, maybe even smells worse than Yorin at this point, which is kind of hard to think about or imagine.
Right.
But she's with the bull.
Exactly.
And God, I love Gendry, you know? He's he's great character. He's awesome, man.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's crazy to think that, like, in all of this, I mean, how significant he is. You know what I mean? And just that these two are together. And I was even thinking, again, as I was reading this, like the Lyanna and Robert Baratheon connection, right? It's just so cool to think that this is sort of what he's doing here. He's built, if what we see in the TV show really goes down, these two characters end up together. So
yeah, kind of ish they
maybe
yeah yeah and so we see Yorin gives his he gives a long sword to the bull or Gendry, you know, arms like yours, might be you can learn to use this, right? And this is when they talk about they're going to be burying Who's the guy that died? I just skipped over it. The sellsword that was with them.
Oh yeah, he did, you know, they just, woke he, up. Yeah,
yeah, he woke. Yeah, they die. It says, you know, they realized it was his coffin. They'd been missing.
They strip him down. That's right. They take all of his stuff, yep. Don't they?
Yep, and that's where he gives Gendry that the sword.
Right, because they talk about the different type of steel, and when she pulls out needle, she and like later on, there's a little bit where he's talking about this is the type of steel that they have, and his sword's exactly. bigger, hers is smaller, but hers is made of better steel. Yeah, so
exactly, yeah, and so then they go to this they go to this inn, and they're talking to, you know, they're talking to the innkeep there, and he's talking about like, I had a brother, you know, that took the black serving boy, clever, but one day he got seen filching pepper from my lord's table. He liked the taste of it, is all, just a pinch of pepper, but Sir Malcolm was a hard man. You get pepper at the wall. When Yoren shook his head, the man sighed. Shame, you know, he loved pepper. So that's just some more kind of building about like the kind of men that go to the Night's Watch and how some people go for not, you know, they're not all these extremely hardened criminals. Some people, they just make one mistake, oh, and you're going to the wall.
Isn't that crazy? So this boy's name, so it's Link Loved Pepper, right? Like, right. I mean, that's sad, isn't it? Just mm-hmm. sad. You know, he's going to be sent to the wall because he was stealing a pinch of pepper, and there's no pepper up at the wall. Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a hard world they live in. So we see the inn they're at, you know, it's full of people. A lot of people are going south towards King's Landing because they think, hey, maybe there's some food at King's Landing because mm-hmm. supply, because that's where a lot of the food is going. And so it's not really going to a lot of other places. And this is when they start talking about going to the war. And the innkeeper says there's really no going north. Half the fields are burnt. And what folks are left are walled up inside their holdfast. One bunch rides off at dawn and another shows up by dusk. He says, that's nothing to us. We're Tully Lannister, makes no matter. We're the watch takes no part. This is where we see Arya's kind of internal thinking. Lord Tully is my grandfather, Arya thought. It mattered to her, but she chewed her lip and kept quiet, listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not even just that. You know, she starts to think, yes, like House Tully matters to me, but there's more. There's you know, this new boy. Who rides, you know, on a wolf or whatever, and is, you know, the young wolf is coming down for battle, and so that really gets her attention, right?
And it's cool that we start seeing these kind of stories. We get this a lot about Beric Dondarrion throughout this book, and what's going on, and it's really interesting because, you know, Beric Dondarrion dies so many times that it's like we get people who say, well, I heard he died like this. Well, I saw him die like this. And so that's kind of interesting. And that's kind of a lot of actually these Arya chapters where we get a lot of the stories about what's going on in the war. We just get it through stories that everyone's kind of saying as they're moving up the King's Road.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and as you said, people are jumping up and down talking about the different tales, and you hear around the God's Eye, there's tale of wolves. So, you know, they bounce from,
right.
What could be the young wolf riding down from the north, and then also here around the God's Eye, the wolves are all stirred up, and even possibly a great she-wolf could be leading them and causing, wreaking havoc on anybody who comes near or whatever. And Arya thinks Nymeria, right?
Exactly. That's what she thinks. And Nymeria is another character who, same thing. It's going to be stories. Oh, I heard of a giant wolf that leading a pack, or, you know, throughout the woods. And so same thing here. You know, that's more tales and no more true than the other, as they're saying. I heard the same thing from my cousin, and she's not the sort to lie. She says there's this great pack hunting hundreds of them man killers. The one that leads them is a she wolf, a bitch from the seventh hell. You know, this is where Arya, sloshing her beer, is thinking a she-wolf.
Yeah, and she's in there, and when she does speak up, I mean, again, Yoren's sort of like, God, how many times do I have to, like,
exactly
tell you to not draw attention to yourself? I mean,
exactly.
It's funny because some of the commoners are calling her boy, right? But, you know, later on, she's instantly identified as a girl.
I know. And, by, right? by, ty- Well, by Roose Bolton in this, Tywin in the show. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then even in this chapter, when the guy rides up one of the gold cloaks, I mean, whether he called her a little girl because he was just using it as an insult, or he really thought she was a little girl, I mean, kind of drew a lot of attention to her. So, you know, Yoren's freaking out, like, come on. I mean, you need to blend in with the other guys here. And he says, this is a place where men, you know, talk and stuff. And you got to shoes her out to say, like,
exactly.
Take that craziness outside.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. You know, then the Arya kind of says here, yeah, that's just a story. Wolves don't eat babies. Yeah. And what would you know about it? And that's where that happens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Outside boy.
Yeah. And this is where she gets it. I mean, so she goes from one trouble or one dangerous situation to another, which is sort of Arya's thing.
Yeah, and so this is where she approaches the wagon, right?
Right.
We hear the prisoners talking to him. You know, a man could use another taste of beer. A man has a thirst wearing these heavy bracelets. He was the youngest of the three, slender, fine-featured, always smiling. His hair was red on one side and white on the other. All matted and filthy from the cage and travel. A man could use a bath, too. He says, when he saw Arya was looking at them, a boy could make a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends, Arya said. None I can see, said the one without a nose. And so they're kind of, so there's the three of them in there, one of them who we will come to recognize here.
Mm-hmm.
A man does not choose his companions in the black cells. You know, but right here is like the biggest deal in the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A man does not choose his companions in the black cells, the handsome one with the red and white hair said. Something about the way he talked reminded her of Sirio. It was the same, yet different, too.
Yeah, what's going on?
I mean, what is going on? I mean, now we get to the Jack. Who is Jack and Hagar theories? Where does he fit in? I am 100% a believer of the fact that Sirio is and Jack and are the same person. 100%.
It makes. I mean, you can make the case that Sirio does eventually, you know, get. Captured or something and goes down there and changes faces.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know. It just, that would be kind of interesting. Be very interesting to say. Some people have said, you know, is Sirio Forel a lot? Yeah, sure. Sure as hell he's alive.
Absolutely.
it is just kind of crazy. You know, actually at the start of this chapter, I missed it. I underlined a few times where the phrase like no one is used. If you look throughout this chapter, you'll find a lot of times where it is used, just where, you know, she wondered why no one else was going the same way, even though it's just like a little tiny thing. The more every time I see it, I'm just sort of like, oh, you know.
Oh, gosh.
Like, there it is. Gosh. There it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he says here, this man has the honor to be Jack and Hagar of the Free City of Loreth. But, you know, if you listen to the audiobook, which, you know, you and I do, Roy Dotrice calls him Jaqen Hagar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, I mean, I mean, obviously, we'll go by what the show says and what we've come to know. But again, if you're really somebody who just mainly listens to the audiobooks, you're like, it's not that. You know, it's just like the same thing with he calls Sansa as opposed to Sansa.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
And Petyr Baelish as opposed to Peter Baelish.
Yes.
And
yep.
Varys as opposed to Varys. So there's definitely some differences. So as soon as he said that, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. In the books, it's Jaqen Hagar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's all those people during season 8 who were freaking out when we were, you know,
exactly.
Jeez.
I mean, I still don't know. Is it Missunday, Missandy, me Sunday? I am.
Me
not.
Too. Me too. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, but then, you know, there's the other man in the cage too. Biter is the one who's hissing at her.
Yeah.
You know, he says a man, and then Jack, and you know, a man must have some name. Is that not so? Biter can speak and Biter cannot write, yet his teeth are very sharp. So a man calls him Biter and he smiles. Are you charmed? And this is where, you know, Ari backs away from the cage. No, they can't hurt me. They're all chained up.
Yeah. So interesting that he says a man must have some name. Is that not so? Like, as in a question, right? Like, curiously, Is that not the way it is, right? That someone, you have to have a name, and versus he is actually no one. You know, he's one of the faceless. So, interesting little, just little tiny things that he's building towards.
Absolutely. Then Rorg's in there, the noseless one. He says, you know, get us some beer, Pimple. Then, you know, they're kind of arguing. You know, this is where she's thinking about what Sirio taught her. You know, fear cuts deeper than swords. She makes her approach the wagon. Every step was harder than the one before. Fierce as a wolverine, calm as still water. The words sang in her head. Sirio would not have been afraid. She was almost close enough to touch the wheel when Biter lurched his feet and grabbed for her, his irons clanking and rattling. You know, he hisses, and then she hits him hard right between the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just doing a quick little, I had to go back and look, and I'm thinking about his hair. You know, why is it red, and why is it white? So we've got red and white, right? Split right down the middle. I mean, is that just because it was, is there a reason for that, or is there some symbolism, or is it just that he's is it from where he's supposed to be? You know what I mean? Is that a feature of that group of people in Essos? Maybe. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, you know, because it's interesting because I wonder if we don't necessarily know exactly how much of their appearance they can change. Because I think there's a lot of characters who could be faceless men, and we just don't know. We see Jaqen change it, and he just kind of changes his face, and they're called the faceless men. So theoretically, it might just be their face. Because when Arya does it in the show to kill Walder Frey, it's really just kind of her face. Her body's really the same. She doesn't really look that much different outside. She has a totally different face on her. It's not something that's necessarily described as much, because this is where we started to get into, and we talk about this a lot, that kind of duality between magics, right? You have resurrection with the White Walkers in that they basically turn somebody into a zombie, and then you have resurrection with the Red God R'hllor, where they bring somebody back to life. In somewhat of a like pet cemetery way, right? Where they bring them back, they might be a little different, but it's bringing somebody back that way.
And then
you have skin changers and wargs and faceless men, and they're all similar, but they're not necessarily the same. But they could be. It could just be a different version of magic doing it. But we unfortunately just don't necessarily know. It's a lot of speculation based upon what we see. And that's what makes it fun, because we can theorize and speculate about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, let me think here. So, man, I should not have looked ahead. I shouldn't look ahead, because it starts to kind of make me freak out and go down all these old rabbit holes that I've seen before. In a few chapters, we'll talk about something that's kind of interesting. Like when Arya, there are three men in the cage. Don't forget that. There are three, and there are three lives spared. So that's all I'm going to say, and we'll come back to it later. Because I don't want to completely divert. But you're right, yeah. I mean, it's neat that there's these different factions and these different, as you said, faiths or whatever in this world, and there's something for everybody. So it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's when he, you know, he's hit her with, he... hit Rorg or Biter, sorry.
Yep.
Kind of pulls back from the cage, and this is when they start talking. This is when they kind of start talking about, you know, the bull comes up, and they start talking about the kind of steel it is.
Yeah. They weren't thinking about getting into a little fight with each other, a little bit of some sword play. Yep.
Yeah, you know, he says. You know, he blinked at her, startled. Strands of thick black hair, still wet from the bathhouse, fell across his deep blue eyes. You know, I'd hurt you. She's like, you would not. You don't know how strong I am. You don't know how quick I am. You're asking for it, Ari, as they call him. Mm-hmm. He drew Praed's long sword, which is the one he has. He says, this is cheap steel, but a real sword. Arya unsheathes the needle. This is good steel, so it's realer than yours.
Yeah, something like a kid would say. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, promise not to cry if I cut you. I'll promise if you will. You know, then she stands and gets into her water dancer stance. Bull did not move. He was looking at something behind her. You know, what's wrong? Gold cloaks. It's like, ugh, right. Bad. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is it. I mean, so they hide at first, but, I mean, these guys are showing up, and they have orders from Queen Cersei, and Jorn's not having any of it. These are men of the Night's Watch, and these
he
are
shouldn't
boys.
Have to.
No, he shouldn't have to put up with this crap, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We talked about Jon Snow a couple, like, last week or whatever. I went on, like, I think a rant or something, you know, about him and loyalties to the Night's Watch and all this kind of stuff. How are you supposed to not take part in some of this stuff when people outright challenge you? You know what I mean? Like, they're threatening him here, threatening to kill him, take some of his men. And it's like, no, they've been given over. At that point in time, there's been an exchange made, and they're beyond your jurisdiction. So you're out, guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't care. I mean, obviously they don't care.
Yeah,
but I
no,
guess well, the question is the are they out of her? Are they technically out of her jurisdiction? Because I would almost argue that it's not until you've taken the black.
Oh well, let me ask you this then. Okay, so what about it? Let's say besides the guys who are. Just traveling, but what if it is just Jorn? I mean, is he?
Well, Jorn, I would say is beyond her approach.
Yeah, it is interesting though what you state there, because like anyone who is coming from, let's say, see, because it's weird because the Seven Kingdoms kind of have an agreement that the Night's Watch is sort
exactly.
of whatever.
It's kind of its own thing
because I was getting to like if you had sellswords coming from other countries, they're still you commit a crime. You know, a crime's a crime, and doesn't matter what country you're from, boom, you're getting, you know, whatever. Versus, like, the Night's Watch is going to deal with you or whatever. Although, there is the one rule, you know, with deserters where any lord would enforce somebody who...
So, yeah. I mean, I would say that, I mean, for example, let's say that Ned Stark said, I'm going to take the black. And then as he's going north, Joffrey said, well, I changed my mind. I want him executed.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he gets to the wall, I feel like he'd be safe. I mean, he'd have to take the black. But until he gets there, I feel like he could say, no, I want to change my mind.
Gotcha. It's a gray area, you know.
I mean, it's kind of like imagine somebody on death row. Well, until they're actually put in the electric, you know, electric, or whatever way they're doing it. I mean, I'd say they're still. They could be pardoned, right? I mean, that's all those. That's like every movie ever where somebody's gonna go be executed in prison, right? I mean, So I feel like it's once you've taken the black is when you're.
Right. All right. Well, anyway, so still he's having none of this with the gold cloak showing up and the officer there dismounts, which was probably a bad idea. He should have stayed on his horse. You know,
well, and this is interesting too because he starts talking to Jorin and Arya and the Bull Gendry are talking, and she's really nervous because she thinks she wants her. And so she's like, "What would the Queen want with you?" And she's like, "You know, be quiet." And then he says, "Thing is, the boy's in the Night's Watch now. When he's done black, what he's done back in the city doesn't mean anything." You know, the queen isn't interested in your views, old man. Neither am I. The officer says, I'll have the boy. And so Arya is thinking, oh, God, they're gonna come get me.
Right.
And then really who they're after is Gendry.
Yeah, and what's crazy about it, too, is like what the whole way this breaks down is when Hot Pie steps out. That's the one, you know, he steps out and to kind of defend what she thinks is her. And he doesn't. They don't even know what boy we're talking about here. But she's like, I'm not having any of that. Hopeye's not stepping out, going to say he's going to take on these guys. I'm going to sit back here and hide. So then she steps forward, and it's at that point where she almost kind of says that, he talks a little bit more just about, you know, everybody kind of answers the call and steps up and says that they're going to, you know, it's almost like a you have my bow, you have my axe type of situation where Jorn even pretends like there's more men waiting there or whatever, But she hated Hot Pie. You know, why would he risk himself for her?
Exactly.
And so then you know, she kind of steps forward. The one with the broken nose still thought it was funny. Let's see. You girls put away them rocks and sticks before you get spanked. None of you know what end of the sword to hold. I do. Arya wouldn't let him die for her like Syrio. She wouldn't. So she shoves on through, gets into her water dance, stance there, and the guy with the broken nose kind of looks up. He said, "Put away that blade, little girl. No one wants to hurt you." Again, no one. I mean, I know it's said all the time, but I just
it jumps out
like crazy when you're talking about Arya. Let's see. "I'm not a girl," she yelled. So, what was he calling her? Is she that easy to, you know? Eventually, everybody kind of figures it out, right? But she's
well.
She's,
I mean, I think he just called everyone girl. So
he did. He did. But I mean, you know, maybe she's easier to pick out than we think. And yeah. So then they kind of have at it. But he's off his horse, and really the mistake he makes is that Yoren's able to, when, as soon as, you know, when he looks away, he's able to kind of put his blade up to his neck. He steps in real quick and slaps his blade up there on him and says, "Get the heck out of here."
Exactly. And he lies and says, "I've got 15 more brothers in the, you know, in that inn over there, and I don't think you really want to have them come out here." Yeah. Well, you know, in Arya is smart enough to know that they're not going to kill her, right?
Yeah, sure.
Because she knows who she is, and she's far more valuable alive than she would be dead. And so she still has a lot of power. I mean, she could reveal herself to say, "Oh no, I'm Arya Stark of Winterfell." Boom. I mean, that's a big deal when you can come out and prove that. So she could do it to save Gendry. And then basically Yoren kind of scares them off, but we know that they're gonna come back next time I catch you. Excuse me, I believe I'll have your head to go with the bastard boys. You know, better men than you have tried. So that doesn't really make them too happy, and we'll get back to that in a couple chapters.
So one thing too, right there at the end, I just want to mention, like, you know Yoren almost kind of gives up that Arya has a secret identity to the Bull or to Gendry just a little bit, in that he sort of sends them both on, and even though he plays it off as if, well, Arya said maybe it was her, so maybe you're both, like, you know, they wouldn't want either one of you, but both of you get the heck out of here. So
exactly. Yeah, so, and that's kind of basically how the chapter ends. So,
yep.
Yeah, kind of a shorter chapter, but again, it's a little bit of world building there at the beginning, which I think is really good. You know, a lot of these early chapters, they seem to spend a little more time just kind of like, all right, we need to set the stage a little bit here, showing what's going on with the war. And again, it's cool. It's new to be in this new kind of environment that's no longer just King's Landing, as most of the first book is. Now that we're out on the road and it's all free game, anything can happen. So
yeah,
introducing Jack and Hagar, who's going to be a big, big, big player going forward.
Yeah, yeah, he really is. Yeah, and you know, it, like, even his all of his abilities too. I want to say this because as I was looking on ahead, and you look at really the way the text outlines it, it's different than the show. It's slightly different, and just. And their powers, or whatever you want to call that. I mean, it's the transformation is fascinating. So there's something there. It's not just like Varys, who goes and changes up into some costume or makeup or whatever. It's real, man. And it's real scary. So,
yeah. So, all right, well, let's move on over to Send a Raven. We have two ravens here, one real kind of raven, another is just a message from somebody we haven't heard from in quite some time here. So from our good, loyal Captain of the Guard, Lord James Hunter the Foulmouth. Been some time since we've heard from him. He was really kind of, I guess I could say, soiled by Season 8. I think, you know, some people with Season 8 just really kind of put on the wrong end. So it's good, certainly good to hear from him. He says,
"Yep.
Just kind of talking about our new one of our new podcasts coming here soon, Heroes of the Horn, which is Wheel of Time, another big fantasy series. Stay tuned for that, January 1st, 2020. Maybe a little nugget on Christmas. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he just says, sirs, I just want to finish the first book of the Wheel of Time series, and it was awesome. I had to re-listen to the front half of the book a few times to learn all the new terminology, but great story. The author did a great job of ending the first little story while still teasing the rest of the story. Basically, you don't feel cheated by a cliffhanger. Can't wait for the new podcast, The Fucking Foul Mouth. So certainly good to hear from him again. He says, side note, word on the street is one of you fine sirs is a gains maker. I think he's talking about me here. Funny coincidence. I have been looking for some gains. I propose this good sir. How about you sell me some since I have, so many, since I have so many and I have so few. What say you, good sir? Will you sell me some gains? So good. Yeah, sir, he's a big power lifter, man. I see him on Facebook. And,
oh, dude, yeah.
Yeah, so it's certainly good to hear from Lord James Hunter again.
Yeah.
It's certainly been a while.
Right, absolutely. And I'm telling you what, yeah, that's the making of gains is happening. 2020 is going to be huge. You know, something else I want to encourage Lord Hunter, just the Wheel of Time series, he's going to fly through it because I can tell, like, if you like the first book, he's going to love the next couple of books. And it does, the more you listen to it or read it, whichever one you prefer, all that terminology, yeah, it just, it'll come to you. It'll start to really sink in and make sense, and it'll create a story. So that's awesome. I am super stoked that he is into that, and he's maybe going to join us in that new project. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah, guys, maybe a little nugget on Christmas. That's all we're going to say.
Yeah.
All right. So this is from Lady Jess here. She's going to be talking about Ned Stark is definitely dead. There's some people that definitely have that theory that he's still possibly alive. But here we go. Lady Jess. Hello, sirs. I'm sorry if you received this raven 87 times, as I am not a huge fan of birds, and the ravens are not cooperating. They are tricksy birds, after all. Also, I would like to say thank you for the wonderful job you have done bringing the world of Song of Ice and Fire alive. As for my origin story, I started with the first book, but I just couldn't get in until I was introduced to the show. My best friend said, just watched one episode, and I was hooked. We watched as much as the first season we could in one night, staying up until 4:30 a.m. when we had an 8 a.m. Call for work. That's rough. I then binged the first two seasons before season 3 premiered and watched the other seasons live. I then burned through all 5 books in order. This podcast was a great way to prepare for season 8 and got myself hyped for a reread in the time after the series finale and before Winds of Winter, although I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Winds until 2022 at this point. Wow. It's pay. Who knows? I started a new job in January, and I would travel for work 2 to 3 times each month, 23 trips between February and November. Wow. Jeez. And would listen to your podcast on the plane and on my 1.5-hour commute to and from work. Wow. Let us know what you do, because Sereza and I are definitely looking for new jobs, and that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah,
I finally caught up. Yeah, seriously. I finally caught up on the podcast, and I honestly feel like missing two of my best friends daily, which has me thinking about diving into hyperspace hangout.
Let's go.
My husband and I are currently on the Mandalorian bandwagon, and the Wheel of Time sounds interesting as well, but I want to complete a full Song of Ice and Fire reread before diving into a new series. Hey, mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. You know, Sir Ezra and I are just out there talking about a lot of different things.
Oh yeah,
that's just what we do. We have our, but
it will always be there, though.
We will always be talking about A Song of Ice and Fire as well as other things. It's just what we do. I don't think of this as a theory, but more like debunking a common theory, belief/wish in the realm. A lot of people think that Ned is still alive and that a faceless man took his place on the steps of Baelor. I don't think there's any way that can be true. One, in order for a faceless man to take on another face, of that person must be dead. So a faceless man couldn't have taken Ned's place to save him. The faceless men cut their own face and put the new face on like a mask, sealing it with their blood. So they couldn't have taken on Ned's face alive. In the show, it's much more like magic, as Jaqen wears Arya's face when she is alive in front of him. So I'm focusing more on what the books tell us. Assuming a faceless man could magic, the face swap, like is shown in the show, wouldn't cutting off the head break the spell and reveal the true body beneath the glamour? Yeah, you know, in a way, it could be like a glamour. That's definitely another. There you go. There's another. Mm-hmm. Skin changing, warging, faceless men, glamoring.
Yep, yeah.
I know some people argue that Sansa says it did not really look like Lord Eddard. It did not even look real, which could point to it being a faceless man. But really, what are the chances they had a faceless man that could have swapped places that would have held a resemblance to Ned? We don't hear much about a faceless man dying, but I know a lot of sci-fi and fantasy worlds have beheading as the one way to kill just about anything. I would think the same for faceless men as well. Although Sir Gregor / Robert Strong seems to be the exception to that rule. There's another form of bringing somebody back to life. So there's definitely a lot of these different types of magics. Maybe they can't die because they serve the god of death, kind of like the Grim Reaper situation. Who knows? Sorry if this is a bit of rambling, and I hope it makes sense. This has been bugging me since the Sansa chapter in A Game of Thrones, where she should have pushed Joffrey off the pathway and onto the spikes. Also, we can get further into Clash of Kings and magics becomes more prevalent. I thought this might be a fun topic. Curious to know if you agree or disagree. Would love to know your all thoughts either way. I wish you all good fortune in the wars to come. She says, all in, # Fiesta Bowl. Let's go. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely. Lady Jess from the Kingdom of Carolina. P.S. I hope to become a patron sometime in 2020. I already have my house sigil picked out, a panther with bright blue eyes and a tiger with piercing purple eyes on a snow white field with black and white checkered border. That is pretty cool. So, all right. Well, I mean, first and foremost, all in on the Fiesta Bowl. Amen. That's all I got to say. OH. So,
yeah. Yeah. I'm not so sure. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure. Yeah. From the Kingdom of Carolina. Yeah. We'll. We'll see.
Yeah. So, all right. So, yeah, I'm not a big believer of the Ned Stark is still alive. There are really kind of two trains of thought for it to be possible. There's this faceless man theory, and the other, that he would have perhaps warged into a raven that was flying above or something like that. Because I just think the idea is that we lose it. Ned's death is really the first major death in the series. I mean, obviously Robert Baratheon dies, but he's more of like a side character. Ned is that first character. He's a POV character throughout the first books. I think the show obviously does a really good job of him as well. That like, oh, wow. And none of your characters aren't just, it's not just going to be this happy ending, right? And Ned's death serves as such a big, important plot point for all the characters. I mean, really, I mean, everybody is kind of connected to him. Catelyn, Rob, Jon, Arya, Sansa, Bran, even Rickon a little bit, then side characters as well. So his death is just such an important plot point to go back later and have him still be alive. I don't know. I think that there are other characters, though we talk about, well, all these other characters could possibly be alive. Rhaegar is a little different because we just hear stories about him and him being alive, or him possibly say being Mance Rayder, teaching John and stuff like that. It's different because Ned is a main character, not a side character that we've only heard about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and so I'm with you, and I'm also with Lady Jess on this, in that I think what he does is he tries to, because there is a lot of swapping of characters and there's bits of magic and it's here, but not every case is going to be that way. But he does leave kind of these trails where it's like, oh, I'm gonna leave a few breadcrumbs that trickle off this way, but that's it. It's not gonna go anywhere. I'm gonna stop, but I'm gonna make people think and wait. Like, well, maybe he'll do something later, and he'll add a few more breadcrumbs to that theory, but he's never really going to. And it's simply sort of, you know, when you look at like even Jack and Hagar being down in the black cells, like there's enough there to say, well, what, he was there. I mean, did he have any interaction? Was he? Could he move around? You know, like, so people start to kind of think they build it up in their head that it could work, but really it would steal a lot of thunder. It is what sends all these Starks on this quest. It is the it's the big event. It's huge. It's the thing that you, it's the unchangeable, I kind of feel like. So there's that. I mean, you have so many other characters who
it's as big as Rhaegar, you know, kidnapping Lyanna.
Yeah.
It's the same type. It starts a war.
It's an event that changes everything. So yeah, it has to be kind of you know, pretty concrete. Otherwise, you know, he would reappear somewhere and someone would say, "Okay, it's over, you know, put your swords down, whatever." So I kind of see that. I kind of get that. You know, back to Lady Stoneheart here for a second. So, like her death is, it's different. Even Beric Dondarrion, like when those individuals are brought back, it's a little different. And it's, I don't know. I just feel like you can't do that with every single character. And a lot of times when something is like, even though Catelyn Stark's death is pretty, it's, you know, we live through it. I think what's crazy is since the first time we know that Eddard Stark didn't come back, there was no return for him. We're thinking the same thing's happening to all the Starks there at the Red Wedding. And then, whoa, lo and behold here, you know, she's brought back or whatever. So, but not wholly. And I don't know. I feel like there's ebb and flow with his writing. And he does it, and there's a fine balance, right? And just in how much of the magic he wants to sprinkle around, and how much he wants to, how much deception he wants to use, and everything. So I don't know. And he likes to keep right. you guessing, and he wants. It's almost like he has, like he's a juggler, and he wants everything up in play. He wants all the balls up in the air, and he's making you. He's building the suspense, and everything seems like it could still, you know, there's still a chance. And exactly. So people hold on to these threads for a long time. And really, that can lead to some great disappointment, because for crying out loud, we got season 8. We know what happens. And we know it sent Lord Hunter away for a bit. But fear not, friends. I don't think the books are going to go, you know, anywhere. I just don't think there's any way that they're going to be very similar. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, I don't know. I'm with Lady Jess on this. I don't think it's interesting when people bring it up. It's fun to kind of talk about or whatever. But I don't know. There's really not a whole lot to it. There never really was, right. Actually.
Well, and when I think about what, you know, when we see Sansa describe, you know, his head and how it doesn't look like him, and then when Catelyn looks at the bones later and she says, you know, he looks a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that is great storytelling as well, because it's this idea that they're gone, right? I mean, they're no longer with us. And
yeah.
when you start thinking back, you know, you start thinking back to that person and how different they are. I mean, it's no different than, you know, earlier this year, you know, my grandfather passed away, and yeah. So you know, I went to an open casket funeral, which I do not like, but it's that same type yeah. of a thing where you look at somebody in a casket and it's totally different, right? They don't feel like the same person, because like they're yeah. gone. And I think that's the same thing that Gerd does when he's describing these characters. When Catelyn's looking at the bones of her husband, it's definitely going to look, you know, a lot smaller than him, because when you think of him now, it's, you're thinking about his life and how, you know, Arya talks about like the feast hall and how everyone would get to sit around the table. Like you're building him up as this big character. Right. And so I think that's what Gurr's going with when he describes how Ned, you know, after he's dead, doesn't seem mm-hmm. the same.
Yeah. Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
So,
yeah, but there's that little tiny, people hold on to that little bit, like, well, maybe it means this, and really,
right.
He's trying to put you in, he's wanting the reader to imagine if you were Sansa, you know, or mm-hmm.
oh,
Catelyn, and that, think about it from their perspective, mm-hmm. and then even with that, it's sort of like, you know, grief can distort things as well, too,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
Exactly. Well, and it also doesn't help that as we progress forward, there are so many characters who are different people or are come back from the dead or, you know, all of these things. I mean, John, you know, in the books hasn't, but it's very, very, very likely that that's going to happen. In the show, it obviously happens. Catelyn comes back. Beric Dondarrion comes back a lot. Mance Rayder gets glamored. You know, all of these things. Arya becomes a faceless man. So all of these things happen where all these people are able to do all of these big things. And it seems like, well, everyone's pretty safe. That it's like, well, maybe these other characters back then could kind of do it as mm-hmm. well. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, a great theory slash kind of debunking a theory there, Lady Jess. So
yeah. Yep.
All right, man. Well, I think that's kind of it, Sir Ezra.
Yeah, but that's pretty much it. So yeah, thanks for listening. And like we said, we'll try to have like a special episode for you guys next week. And you know, we have that surprise that's coming as well. A lot of different cool things. You'll definitely want to go, maybe if you're interested in high fantasy, be sure to follow at the Horn of Valyr for some surprises there. Plus, mm-hmm. we got a bunch of cool stuff happening with Hyperspace Hangout.
Yeah, I mean, Rise of Skywalker is this weekend. I mean, some big stuff going on there. And as always,
spoiler, Rey dies. Okay.
Whoa! Be careful, man. So this is released before the movie, okay? Because we got blasted.
Oh, I know.
We got blasted on iTunes reviews and people sending us messages when Avengers Endgame was coming out.
God.
And it was before the movie even came out. And I jokingly said, you know, this weekend, because it was the same weekend as the big battle at Winterfell, episode 3 of season 8. And I jokingly said, all the Starks are going to die. And I remember specifically people sending me emails saying, like, you just spoiled everything. And I was like, how do I know? That's not neither thing is even out yet.
You had no clue. But people who listened after it had come out was like, are you serious?
Then only one Stark did die. And it wasn't the ones in Game of Thrones. So spoilers if you haven't seen that movie. I mean, it's been out since earlier this year and it's on Disney Plus. Go check that out. So anywho, well, we want to thank you for playing the Game of Thrones. In our next episode, we will be discussing Chapter 6, John 1 of A Clash of Kings.
If you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, leave a comment, or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com.
We will see you in a week, and remember that the night is dark and full of terrors.